Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Krisus Daf Yud. We begin on Tesamon Beis. Perhaps let's just back up to the Mishnah again to give us a complete picture of the Sugya. So the Mishnah back on Tesamon Beis, around 12 lines from the bottom. Here's another example of one covering the many. One carbon covering multiple births. We're talking about the carbon that a woman gives, offers after childbirth, whether it's a viable child or even a hapala, a miscarriage, le'olenu. Says the Mishnah, Ish she'yod of ladis harbi, a woman who gave birth many times. For example, v'yipila b'tech shmoinim nekeva. So, just a quick overview of the halachas of the yeledes, which is discussed in the Chumash, beginning of Parshas Tazria. If an Isha gives birth to a Zachar, the first 7 days following that birth are called Yimei Tuma. She has a status of Tuma, regardless of whether or not she sees any Dam. That is followed by 33 days, which are called Yimei Tahara, after which it's called Vimlois Hayomim Ha'ela, when these days fill, when they complete full count. So by a Zachar, until 40 days, she's still considered within the realm of that birthing experience, after which, on day 41, she brings a karban, a keves as an oila, a bird as a chatos. If she can't afford, she brings a pair of birds, one for chatos, one for oila, and she's back, able to access karbanos, fully tahar. Of course, we're talking that she was tayvel as well. Now by a nekeva, it doubles. It's an 80-day process. So 2 weeks immediately following the Leida, she's experiencing the Yimei Tumah. So that's 14 days, followed by 66 additional Yimei Tahara. So even if she sees Dam, she's Tahar, until day 80, including, after which on day 81, she brings the Karbanos. Says the Mishnah. Let's say, V'yipila b'tech shmoinim. She gave birth to an akeva, which extends for, 80 days, right? And she reconceived. So after the 2 weeks of Tumah, she was Tovel, and she reconceived with her husband. Now she had another miscarriage. So the first one could have been a viable child. Now it's a miscarriage. And it was actually an akeva. It was formed to the extent that you could discern the gender. So this triggers another 80-day count. Then once again, she discharged a nafel within the 80 days, and this too was in a keva, and it goes on and on. So it's a recurring, repetitious, multiple birth experience. Halacha is, she need not bring a special carbon per experience. One carbon at the very end covers it all. Another example would be, let's say she conceived multiple fetuses at once, twins, triplets, and then she birthed each one at a separate time, with time intervals in between. Now here Rashi points out, it could be even Zachar, who have a shorter count, because she doesn't have to reconceive. In order to reconceive, you have to have more time to work with, to be tayvel, to be with her husband, right? So you have to have 80 days to work with. But here, she conceived all at once. The births were done at intervals. So a zachar today, a zachar in a week from now, etc. All of them are covered under the same carbon. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he disagrees slightly. He says, you can cover under the same carbon, but mevi al rishon. You see, the Rabbanan will hold that the carbon addresses the very last experience, and that covers everything that happened prior, if it was all sort of overlapping within each other's time zone, right? Kod Rabbi, no, it's the first birthing experience which triggers the obligation, and anything that was enveloped within it, so if it's in a cave, anything that happened within the following 80 days is covered, but anything past 80 days of the first birth is a separate experience, despite being within 80 days of the second birth. It's not a chain link. It's not an ongoing, recurring, connected system. No. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Mevia Ala Rishon, she's obligated to bring carbon for number one, banana number two, which occurred within 80 days of number one, it's enveloped within it, it's absorbed within it. But then when it comes to number three, which was beyond 80 of number one, Viala Shlishi, a separate carbon for that, despite having occurred within 80 of number two, because number two is not a player. The carbon is on account of number one and anything enveloped within it. So number three, which is beyond number one, requires a carbon. But then again, number four, which was enveloped within number three, is pater from a carbon, because the carbon on number three addresses it and anything within its time frame, including number four. Okay, so in a nutshell, theoretically, an isha can cover many ladies with one carbon, as we're going to see in the Gemara based on a pasuk. So let's say she had multiple births. According to the Chachamim, one covers it all, provided they're all sort of linked with each other. Number two occurring within the first countdown, number three occurring within the second countdown, etc., etc. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the chiyuv is for the first, and anything absorbed within its 80 days by the nekeva or 40 days by the zachar, but past the first 80 days, or the first 40 days, anything happens past that point, is chayav a new carbon. Menalan. How do we know that many can be covered under the same carbon? Tanitano comes to Rav Sheshes, a Chacham presents a brayso to Rav Sheshes, Zois Toiras. Toiras is an expansive term, it covers the many. Zois Toiras, how you led us to Zachar Nekeva, Malamed, we learn, Shem, via carbon, Echal, Alavadis, Harvey, one carbon could cover many Vladis. Says the Gemara, Yachal af ala leidav ala ziva. Let's say she gave birth and she's also a zova, she's a dam, and she requires a carbon. Could be covered all under the same carbon. Tamulayma zois, zois, teres heiledes. Each experience needs its own. Now, why is it even up for consideration? Many leida is okay, it's pretty much the same type of experience, but leida is one trigger and ziva is a totally different trigger. Why would you cover it under the same umbrella? Perhaps one carbon could cover Leida and Ziva. Why? If that's the case, imagine she ate Dam, which had its own obligation. And Vialda, she gives birth as well. Here too, you're going to suggest one carbon could suffice for both? Why? Of course not. So why would Leida and Ziva go together? We have to revise the Braisa. What the Braisa was considering was Yachal ala Leida Shalofneim Alois. So until now we spoke about one carbon covering it all, provided the recurring Leidas happen within the preceding's Leidas time frame, right? So within 80. But let's say the next birth happened beyond the Malois. Malois is the fill of days, meaning the completion of that count. Suppose she hadn't yet gotten around to bringing a carbon. She has a new miscarriage or birth. Can be covered? No. Yochel ha'leidah shal flame alois. Ha'leidah shal acham alois. Perhaps she can use the same carbon to cover a leidah that happened before the completion of the count, and also to address a birth that happened after the completion of the count. Perhaps since she hadn't yet brought a carbon, she can just tie it all together. Tamlem is Zois. Zois, Teres Heiledes. It's a new experience. It's beyond the time frame of the previous one. It's its own experience. It has to be addressed independently. So once again, we have this Machlekes. Rabbanon say, no matter how many times, as long as they're all sort of linked and overlapping, you bring for the last and it covers anything prior. No, it's the first birthing experience which triggers, and it also covers anything that's absorbed within its account. It's like bottle, becomes like secondary to the initial primary birthing. But if she goes on later to have another one, and that occurred beyond 80 of the first, she's having new carbon. So what's the how do we understand this machlekes? Kishatimtzi leimar. If you will, to understand and to explain, we can suggest as follows. The divrei of Yehuda, according to him, Vlad Rishon Goyrim, is the first child that triggers the obligation. So you bring in the carbon for number one. Umiblad Rishon Moedan, you count for number one. Anything within its 80 days is included, but anything past 80 days of number one is out. According to Chacham, it's the opposite. It's the second, the last one, that triggers the obligation. I mean, ignore anything that happened prior to that. That becomes secondary to the final one. Rashi even says, you don't bring a carbon for the first one. You bring just for the last and the final one. That's sort of the end, the completion of the experiences. That's what triggers a carbon. You count from the second one, from the next one. Meaning that it's just an ongoing, recurring linkage system until you get to the very last one. So if they're all overlapping, just keep on going until the very last one. You bring a carbon for that, and you're exempt from the rest. You have to theorize this. Of course, this must be the pshat. There's no other way to explain this. The point was to highlight the second case in the Mishnah where she had conceived multiples and then discharged them separately. No, maybe that's a bit different. Maybe since they're all rooted in the same conception, perhaps even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. That's all one, you know, continuous experience. And just bring for the last and final one and it covers everything. Perhaps I can think. I can say. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbanon. Kamashman, the point is no. In all situations, they both stick to their positions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the first Leda that triggers it. And anything absorbed within it, fine, but anything beyond the first Leda is its own experience. And Rabbanon, what triggers the Chiv is the last and final experience. And everything else becomes exempt. Now, this was regarding carbon. Let's zero in on Rabbi Yehuda's position. What is Rabbi Yehuda's position? So we have one, let's give the numbers, right? One, two, three, and four births. One, and then we have a second one within 80 days, by Nekeva. Says Rabbi Yehuda, fine. That one's included, but number three, which is within 80 of the second, beyond 80 of the first, gets its own carbon. So that's regarding karma. So we reckon with the first, we sort of ignore the second one, which is sort of absorbed in the first, and it doesn't sort of trigger its own count with respect to absorbing another one afterwards. It's all sort of enveloped in the first one. The first one is the carbon obligation, and that covers anything absorbed within itself, but not beyond it. So in a sense, we sort of ignore the second birth. It becomes sort of secondary and tuffle, buttle to the first one. Okay, so that's regarding carbon. What about the counting of the days? After birthing, she counts her Yimei Tumah. By the cave, it's 2 weeks, 14 days, followed by 66 Yimei Tahara. What happens in this case if number two occurred within the 80 of the first? So Rashi learns, of course, it gets its own count. You can't totally ignore him. You have to give him 2 weeks of Tumah, and ultimately another 60 days of Tahara. So she's going to count two sets of 80. The question is, what happens to the counting of the first, which you're in the middle of? You're in the middle of the Yimei Tahara, the first, and boom, there's another discharge, another Leda. Is that first Leda so powerful, so overriding, so overwhelming, so primary that it just keeps on playing in the background, despite the fact that now she had a new birth and this new Yimei Tumah? We say it's like two tracks happening at once. She's observing Yimei Tumah for the second Leda, but still, it doesn't stop the clock on the first Leda. So in the background, we have a countdown of Yimei Tahara. Despite the fact that she can't really experience Yimei Tahara, she's tummy because of the second Leda. Do we look at it like that? So basically she loses out to Yimei Tahara because she's doing two counts at once. She's observing Yimei Tumah for number two and still counting down Yimei Tahara. Or do we say no? It puts a pause, a temporary halt on the countdown of the Yimei Tahara of number one until she completes the Yimei Tumah of number two, and then she goes back and resumes counting Yimei Tahara of number one until she finishes, and then she counts the Yimei Tahara of number two as well. So the question was posed like this. We turn to the next element. The Tuma Mali Amar. What's your Rebbe's opinion regarding the Yimei Tuma of number two? Does it put a temporary pause on the Mitahara of number one, and she could make up for lost time afterwards? Or no? She loses the Mitahara as she's counting the Mitumah of number two. Shall we say, Miyamrin, Ad Kan Lek Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bilad Sheinik Amad Lesser Dami? Perhaps. When does Rabbi Yehuda completely ignore the second birth? Elin in carbon regarding not requiring a new carbon for his number two. It's enveloped in number one. Why? Kiven, the Layotza, Shah, Shru Yalak, Ra carbon. Fact is, she hadn't yet left the realm of the first Leda. She hasn't yet arrived at a point where she has to bring a carbon. It's still within the 80 days. Because of that, Vlad Shane Kimad Lesedomi regarding carbonis, number two is ignored. He's enveloped in number one. Aval, Leinian Tum of Tahara, regarding counting days of Tum of Tahara, perhaps here it shifts. Amos Vilay Kimad Isidomi, perhaps regarding this factor, we will reckon with the second one. Look, the second one arrives, Malotav. There's Yimei Tumma. Okay, put a temporary hold on the initial count until you're done Yimei Tumma, and then go back to the initial count. Don't lose out because of the Yimei Tumma. Don't have the Yimei Tahara count down as you're having Yimei Tumma of number two. Come on, this is done. We have to reckon with the second birth. And the Yimei Tumma of the number two will now interrupt, stop, pause the Yimei Tahara of number one, which had already started counting. Yimei Tahara the Rishon. And when he's done the Yimei Tumma of number two, he'll go back and complete a full count of Yimei Tahara of the first. V'hadar Moine, Yimei Tahara the Shein. And then when he's done, he goes over and completes the Yimei Tahara of number two. That's one way to look at it. So she doesn't lose any Yimei Tahara. Oidum, on the other hand, no. L'Rabbi Yehuda Chumru Dislei. When Rabbi Yehuda ignores a second, it's to generate a Chumra stringency, because by sort of considering number two as merely subordinate number one, not giving it its own, you know, status, ultimately number three, a third birth, will have to have his own carbon, despite having occurred within the Yimei Melois number two. We ignore number two regarding the carbon of number three. So regarding Chumr, Yehuda sort of ignores the second one. Avalacha, regarding our question, if we will posit that the Yimei Tumah of number two merely put a temporary hold on the count of number one, it's going to be a leniency, because you're going to make up for lost time. Kula, it's a kula. The kula lesser doesn't hold a kula. He will hold that it's all about chumra here. Not only do we count out the full count of the second one, but as we're counting it, the first one's still playing in the background, and he loses out. He made tahara. So which way is it? Okay, so again, in a nutshell, we have number one, we have number two within 80 of number one. You have to observe full count for number two as well. So you're starting Yimei Tumah. What happens to the Yimei Tahara of number one, which had already begun counting? Do you pause it and then resume it later so you don't lose any time? Or does it keep on playing in the background? Amar Abuna Mesura Tashmai brings a riot. We have a riot regarding carbon Pesach. So you let us, okay, our topic. What happens to this woman? Shoichen Vizurken Aleha Vyamar Boy. So when she's tummy, she can't be available for the carbon Pesach, but if it's already day 40, le-zachar, 40 for the zachar, or oviyam shemayim nekeva, day 80 for the nekeva, so pretty much at the finish line, we can bring a carbon on her behalf, and she'll have it tonight on Pesach. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? On day 40? On day 80? She's still short, because let's remember, she still needs to bring karbanis. She's mechusa kapara, lacking that completion of her purification process. So although she was already tevel way back and she finished her 80 days, but until tomorrow she's still presumably ineligible for a karban Pesach. She's mechusa kapara. Akat mei, she still has an element of residual tumah on her until she brings the karbanis tomorrow. Let me explain to you what's going on. It's more complex than you think. She had multiple births. So she had a boy. And the next day, she had the twin boy. So she's sort of running two tracks at the same time. So day 41 of the first birth is still day 40 on the second birth. And that's what we're talking about. And we're going on Rabbi Yehuda, then we ignore the second count. We focus only on the first birth. That's the primary birth. That's what is central to her experience. So despite the fact that it's only day 40 from number 2, who cares? As long as it's day 41 from the first birth, which is full count. She could bring a karbanos today, she's done. Vamar Chizda. Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. We are following Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar tells us, Vlad Sheni command lesser dumb. You ignore the second Vlad. So she's day 41. From the first Vlad. She's good to go. Oh. Now we can derive from here some clarity regarding our question that was posed a couple minutes ago. How do we run this count? V'anus, betumo, svirali. The Rabbi Yehuda, Vlad Sheni command the Isei Dami. Now, if we'll say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, regarding matters of tumah, regarding matters of counting, we reckon with number 2. And he puts a pause, a hold, on the count of number 1. And then we have to make up for lost time. So here, we have to add another day. Because the count from the first Leda was interrupted by the second Leda, which occurred a day later. So you lost a day. You have to make up that lost day. Hey, Rishach, Tina, Lobby, my boy. How could you shecht a Karban Pesach on our behalf on day 40 of the second Leda? Despite the fact that it's already day 41 of the first Leda. But no. Since the second Leda occurred a day later, so that extended the Yimei Tumah a day further. And on that extra day of Yimei Tumah, which expanded past the Yimei Tumah of the first Leda, she was supposed to count Yimei Tahara of the first Leda. And she couldn't do that yet. She had to wait. Because it puts a hold, puts a stop on that first count. So you have to make up for that lost day. So you really have to wait an extra day. Do it until day 42 of that first Leda. L'ur t'nami l'matzi achlo. So tonight, 41 at night, she can't have the Karban Pesach. She must wait until day 42 and bring Karbanes. Elo l'ashmami no. Doesn't that prove to us Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding counting the Tahara l'tumah, regarding counting the Tahara l'tumah? Severely holds Rabbi Yehuda, Vlad Sheni, command l'asilam, ignore the second Vlad. And since it's already day 41 of the first Vlad, we don't care what happened in the middle. And we just kept on counting for that first Vlad. And since it's day 41, she's eligible for bringing her karbanis and have a Karban Pesach brought on her behalf. So that pretty much confirms that that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So the Gemara, no. Perhaps I can go like this. L'tumo l'taharo, Sveir l'Rabbi Yehuda, T'vlad Sheni k'man d'Isei Dami. That perhaps Rabbi Yehuda goes with the other approach, that regarding counting days of Tumo l'taharo, the second birth, is k'man d'Isei Dami. We have to reckon with him. And yes, he will put a pause on the first count, which will have to be resumed later. As per your question, aren't we short a day? This price is talking about a unique situation, a circumstance where Klal Yisrael is tummy, and they're bringing the Karban Pesach despite the fact that they're tummy. They're allowed to. And she's included as well, despite the fact that she has tumas yoledes. Hold it, says the Gemara. That's only an allowance by tumas meis. Partake in the Karban Pesach when she's tummy by Mishnah. Pesach by tumah, even a Pesach which is offered in a situation of tumah, only specific type of tumah. All these individuals who have personal tumahs, they can't partake. Only one who touched a mace. Yeah, he lo yachli kli tefillin. That Mishnah, which disallowed the yoledes, is when she hadn't yet immersed in the mikvah, so she's still connected to her birthing experience. But in our case, Kitana, he, that price is talking about the shechtim zerkun le'adot tavlo. We're talking about that she already was tavlo. As she gave birth to a zachar. Once she made tumah up, she's tavlo. She's called a like a tvulas yayim. It's like a person who immersed and is still waiting for sunset. She has to wait for the very long extended sunset, so to speak, until the 40 days are up, and then the next day she brings her karbanis. But once she was tovel, she sort of purified herself, disengaged from the tumas leida. So even though she's still partially, you know, ineligible, she has to bring the karbanis. But for that, we allow her access if it's a time when everybody's tumin anyways. Pesach baba tuma. Yochi says, if that's the case, if you're giving her free passage because of the tuma circumstance that's prevalent in Klal Yisrael at that point, then why even wait till day 40? As soon as her yimei tuma and tefillah are done, she's good to go. Mishminu lo dechazi, from day 8 she's okay. Mishminu lo dechazi, no, she's not okay from day 8. Kasavra tefil yam dezav kazav domik. The fact is, she's still a tefil yam, like we said before. And we're going like the opinion that when a person is still in the status of Tefil Yom, he's awaiting the completion of the day, of the sunset. Here it's a 40-day completion. He's still considered like a Zav. In the case of a Zav, a man who had an emission and he's Tameh and he had a mikveh, so until he has the full and complete Hair of Shemesh, he still has an element of Zav to him, which is a personal Tumah, which doesn't allow him access to the Karban Pesach, even when it's Bava Tumah, because that's unique for Tumas Meis. Likewise, by a woman who led this, she's a tefillah yom, she's still considered somewhat of a yeledes until she's done her her count, and at that point she's only mechusa kippurim, and she's allowed access in this type of circumstance. Yachi, well, if we're not allowing her access to the karban pesach because she's still not done, so even on day 40, she's not technically done. She has to bring a karbanis on the next day. Why? Actually, yes, she's fit on day 40, despite not having yet brought her karbanis. Because this Tana of the Brice will hold, lacking karbanis, no. You haven't yet completed your full purification process, but you can't say that I'm still, you know, identifying with the original Tumah, the Ziva, or the Yeledes. Kosava mechuso kipurim dezav, lav kosav dami. That if you're only lacking karbanis, you're not linked to your original Tumah. There is something that has to be completed, but you're not labeled as a Zav anymore, since you're already immersed in a mikvah, you had Harav Shemesh, same thing you led this. According to Rava, has a different opinion. He says, if you haven't completed, you're still connected to the original Tumah. So if she hadn't brought her karbanis, she's classified as you led this. Has it explained the Brisa, which gives her access to Karban Pesach prior to karbanis? Here comes another Terence. Okay, so we had this kasha from the Brisa, where the Yoledes on day 40 can access the Karban Pesach. We thought it was a riot to our discussion regarding the counting process. We sort of negated that. We moved on that we're talking about the time of Tumah, and she's allowed despite not having her Karbanis taken care of, but that didn't work. We're going to Rava. I'm Rava Ashi. Rava Matarsla. Hold on, the Brisa differently. We're not talking about a proper Yeledes on day 40 of the Leda. No, when we spoke about 40 and 80, it's as follows. 40 days since conception. B'yoyim arboim v'yitzir ha-zachar. Or b'yoyim shmoyim v'yitzir ha-nekeva. Bryce is just pointing out, she discharges a miscarriage, and it was calculated to have occurred on day 40 since conception by a boy. Or on day 80 of the nekeva's conception. It's not yet form to the extent that it has halachic validity regarding the tumas leida. It's not considered a yeledes. It's still premature to the point that it's not a leida. That's all the Brice is saying. There was no leida. It's too early in the process. Rabbi Shmuel, we're going like this. Shita Dama, who says, L'zachar et arboim ve'echad, he's formed at day 41, and prior to that, he's not considered developed to trigger a tumas leida. In the cave, it takes a bit longer. Shmuel ve'echad 81. So if Saif asked the Gemara, okay, so it's not a valid birth, but what about the blood that she saw? It makes her a nida. Tepek leid tmei himisham nida. Blei divashta, with a dry birth without any dam. Yochanan Meimer, if that's the case, then it's such an obvious halacha. Why even discuss it? There's no leid, there's no nida. What's the issue? Well, the time perhaps there's room to think, e'ef shalef sichas hakever. It's an expression. You can't have the opening of the womb laid down without blood. It's impossible. Come on, from the point is yes. It is possible, not common or likely, but it's possible. The Efshar of Sichas HaKever Leidam, so that's the point of the Brisa. Don't worry about anything. There's no Leida because it's too early in the game. And there's no Nida because there's no Dam. So again, we had this big question. multiple births, covered under one carbon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the first lay that triggers the carbon and covers anything enveloped within it. So anything that occurred within the 80 days under the Keva, covered. What about the Tumah Tahara count? Does that second birth put a temporary pause on the first count, in which case she'll make up the lost days later, or not? Does the first birth just take over and just keep on sort of playing in the background, and she'll lose out because of the Yemei Tumah, which is sort of coinciding, interfering with the Yemei Tahara? That was the question. We thought we had a raya, we had 3 years to explain, and we haven't yet really concluded on that. Here comes another attempt. Amar of Shmaya Toshma, listen to this raya. We have a braisa focusing on the pasuk that in the Keva triggers 2 weeks of Tumah and 66 days of Yemei Tahara. V'shishim yoyim v'sheshes yomim teishim al Yemei Tahara. Shishim yachol bein ritzufin. How do you count to 60? Perhaps bein ritzufin, whether it's consecutive, it works without any birthing experiences to interfere. Bein ritzufin, or even if they're dispersed and fragmented, interspersed by birthing or miscarriage experiences. Can you do that? Can you sort of combine together fragmented days? Tamal leimar. V'shishim yoyim, mayim ratzav, just like the day is one entity. There's no dividing the day. There it's tamim yotar. V'shishim kulam ratzufin, likewise, the 60-day count has to be a consecutive, uninterrupted count. So basically, suppose she began counting Yemei Tahara and was interrupted with a new Leda. That original count just keeps on going. There's no, well, we'll stop, we'll go back to it and make up for lost time. No, that's fragmented. It has to be consecutive, uninterrupted. So we pretty much have clarity on our question. But the question is, who's speaking? Is it Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbanan? Very important. Mani, who's the author of this? Who are we going like? Ilema Rabbanan? Are we following the Rabbanan? This whole thing is not relevant according to Rabbanan. Because according to them, we only reckon with the last and final birth. We ignore everything else. There's no interfering and interruptions. It's always going to be consecutive as per the last birth. Ilema Rabbanan, mi islu Rabbanan forzon, do they even consider an option of dispersed and fragmented? It's not relevant to them. El alav Rabbi Yehudi, the only option is Rabbi Yehudi speaking. No, the fact is that he requires consecutive uninterrupted days. So we have clarity in our question that he only disagrees with the Rabbanan in a chumra, that we sort of ignore the second birth, we consider it part of the first experience with respect to the fact that the third birth that happens afterwards within the second birth's time is considered a separate entity. But not to say that we ignore the number two with respect to making up for the lost time of the Yemei Tahara of number one. No! The Yemei Tahara just keep on going. Despite the fact that there is a new birth, and the Yemei Tumah of the new birth eats away from the Yemei Tahara of the first birth, because you can't combine fragmented sections of the 60 days. Oh, Shema Mino, that confirms that in fact, Chumra Islay, the Rabbi Yehuda Kula Lasley. Regarding that original question, yes, of course, Rabbi Yehuda ignores the second birth regarding generating a chumrah so that the third birth is chayav a new carbon despite occurring within the 80 days of the second birth. A new independent experience, because the second birth is sort of enveloped in the first, doesn't have its own standing. But regarding counting, you may too have the heart regarding our question. We do reckon with the second birth, which means to say, that despite the fact that it happened within the 80 days of the first birth, we give him Yemei Tumah, and that Yemei Tumah interferes. We can ignore it, it interferes. which means to say that as we're counting the Meitumah of the second one, the first latest count is still clock is still ticking, and ultimately she'll lose out because she's missing some Meitahara due to the Meitumah of the second one. So basically, we seem to have clarity here on our question. Could she make up for lost time? No. The second birth is reckoned, which means to say that the fact that she had another birth, which triggers a Meitum account, will deduct, will be the expense of the Meitar of the first one, which is still playing in the background. Because it has to be Ritzufim. It has to be consecutive. So the count continues. Loi says the Moloilim Rabbonani. Perhaps this price is going like the Rabbona, not like Rabbi Yehuda. As per your question, when do Rabbon even allow a fragmented? They just reckon with the last and final birth. There's no count that was interrupted. Loi Rabbonani. We're speaking about a unique case. Well, even the Rabbonan would agree. Has an element of fragmentation. V'ach of my skin was speaking, let's say, the second birth and its ensuing count was all absorbed within the first count. So let's say she had an akeva, which is an 80-day experience, and she gave birth to a zachar in the middle, and the 40 days of that second birth, of that zachar, will complete it within the 80 days of the first. So in that case, even the Rabbanan agree, you go back to the first and finish its count. When do they say we just focus on the last, on the second or third? That's when the experience of the second or third extends past the time frame of the previous birth. So we just focus on the last one. But if it's fully absorbed within the original experience, in that case, of course, we can't ignore the first experience. We have to resume its count. And that's what the Rice is talking about. V'achamayiskin was speaking le'yoledes zachar mitaych shmayim shel nekeva. She gave birth to a nekeva, which triggers an 80-day count. And she had a zachar somewhere in the middle there. And the 40 days of the zachar are fully over within the 80 days of the nekeva. So she has to go back and finish the count of the first leda. Now the question is, could she make up for lost time? Could she compensate? Add more day of tahara to compensate for the Meitumah of the Zohar? The answer is no. It has to be consecutive. And that's the point of the price. So again, it's under Rabbana, it's under Rabbi Yehuda. But perhaps according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't say that. You would say that you can make up for lost time. Saif says, hold it, your calculation won't work. Because Shalman Yoimid Gadma, Va'akan de Barsor Loi Shalman, it's impossible to have an added birth fully absorbed with all its count, with all its days within the 80 days. Because look, she had an akeva. For 2 weeks she's off, she's tummy, then she's table. At the earliest she conceived at that point, which is already day 14. Now you need a minimum of 40 days for it to be reckoned as a vlad, has to have that 40 day development, right? So we're holding at 54 already, right? And how many days left till you're 80? Only 26. You need 40. 40 days for the counting of the Zachar. The whole Rabbanon, the Rabbanon of Lat Sheini Manu. So in this case, with the 40 days of Zachar extend past the 80 days of the Keva, of course you just ignore the first one, just count on the second one. So again, there's no concept of fragmentation and resuming old counts. You just ignore what happened till now, you start fresh. And it's a straightforward consecutive uninterrupted count. So the Brisa cannot be talking about the Rabbanon's opinion. I'll tell you how it could work even according to Rabbanan, that there's an element of fragmentation. But later this time, instead of speaking about an akeva followed by a new conception of a zachar, no, she had conceived twins at once and she discharged them at separate times. So then you can have it. First an akeva, which triggers an 80-day count, and then followed, you know, a couple of days later, whatever, by a zachar, which has a shorter count. And so it happens that the Zachar's 40-day count will conclude before the 80 days of Nekeva concludes. So it's fully absorbed in it and requires us to go back and complete the 80 days of Nekeva. The question is, do you make up for lost time or not? And that's what the Brisa is saying, you don't. I'm going to elute Lazachar Basra Besam Limetar. What happened was, for instance, the second boy, the Zachar, was born on day 20 of the Tahara of the Nekeva. Just an example. The Moyed Minkat Lei Shivi Metuma Dilei. So now she has to first observe the 7 days of Tuma for the boy. And technically, the 40 days are over while still within the 80-day time zone of the first one. Vachi Karmel, the Brice is addressing this case. Yachal, Heichal, Yotam, perhaps in this case, which is giving birth to twins, and one is fully enveloped in the other, Nekeva, Mikor, that was the first in the Nekeva, which triggers an 80-day count, and then followed by a Zachar soon after, whose count will be completed within the 80 days of the Nekeva. Tepasak, Tum, Leidl, B'mitzis. So what happens to the Yimeitar of the Nekeva? They just pause for a moment to allow the Tumah of the Zachar to take over, and then go back and make up for lost time. And then we'll give her a full 66-day count, even though it's fragmented, dispersed, before the birth of the Zohar. After, Yom means consecutive, uninterrupted. Mayim kulei ratzuf, ashishim kulei ratzufim, a day is consecutive, one entity, likewise the 60 is one entity, consecutive, uninterrupted, despite the fact that there was 7 days of Tumah because of the Zohar. We don't care. The Yimei Tahara of the Nekeva is still playing in the background, and the countdown continues. Okay, so we thought we had a raya. Well, it was somewhat of a raya, but not on Rabbi Yudas Shita, on the Rabbanon Shita. We came with a unique case. If you come to Rabbanon, we'll have to fragment it. We'll have to count based on the first Leda, despite being followed by another one, because it was fully absorbed within the 80 days. The point of the price is you can't fragment it. So you don't make up for lost time. Omar Bayit Hoshma, let's try another attempt at clarifying Rabbi Yudas' position. Omar Bayit Hoshma. So now we shift to the pasuk of 33. That's by the Zachar. 7 days, followed by 33 days in Tahara. And it reads like this. Ushloishim yoyim, ushloishis yam. Bein, so shloishim, 30, does that mean uninterrupted or even fragmented? Pieced together. Shloishim yachal, bein ritzufin, bein pzorn, perhaps consecutive or fragmented. Tam lemme yoyim, shish shloishim yoyim. Ma yoyim kulu ratzim, has to be one entity. Of shloishim kulam ritzufin, one entity. Again, who's speaking? Mani. Ha, ilam rabban is the rabban is speaking. We turn to the Amid Beis. Mufuzarn. Would the Rabbanon even have an option of dispersed and fragmented? Now, in this case, we can't. This passage, we can't suggest the previous scenario of the multiple births within each other, because here we're talking about a shortened time period. We're talking about a boy who only has 40 days to work with. So you can't possibly have a second later fully enveloped within the first 40 days. Right? Again, because it's a boy. Only has 40 days. So if a week later she has another boy, which triggers another 40-day count, that's going to go past the first 40 days. So you don't have that option at all. So according to Rabban, there's no option to even discuss fragmentation, dispersions, because you just ignore the first one, you focus on the second one. Hamri Rabban already told us, look, any money which count based on the second one. There's no piecing together, there's no simultaneous tracks happening, just the second one, that's it. Ella Rabbi Yudah. Oh, this must be Rabbi Yudah speaking. Ushma menachumra isle kula lesle. And that proves our point. And in fact, according to Rabbi Yudah, even though he says that the first leda is what triggers everything, the karba and everything, it's only regarding chumra. Because it results in a chumra that the third birth gets its own carbon, because we sort of don't give the second birth status, because he was sort of involved in the first one. But to say that we totally ignore the second one, even regarding making up for lost time, no, that's a kula. I will give her extra yimei tahara. No, in this case, we reckon with the second leda, which means to say that the Yimei Tumah of the second Leda will take away, will take a bite out of the Meitahara of the first Leda. You can't go back and make up for lost time. You can't fragment the 60 days and piece it together. It keeps on playing in the background. And she'll lose out for the Yimei Tumah of the Zachar that happened within the within the 40 days of the first Zachar. V'oidam Ravash, another Raya. To the same point, Toshma, Vishesh Yamim. So Pasuk says, but in the Keva, 60 days, Shishinyam Vishesh Yom. So what happens if there was something within the last 6 days, 66? What happens if there was a discharge within the six final days? Vishesh Yom, Yochel Ben Rutzuf and Ben Fazar, perhaps you can count them consecutive or dispersed. So if something happened in between, we sort of put a pause on the 6 days and we resume later, we make up for lost time. No. Tambalayma, the Pasuk says Vishishim Yoim, which is consecutive as we explained, followed by Vishishim Yom. We compare notes. Tambalayma Shishim, Ma Shishim Kul Mitzufim, just like 6 days, it's fully consecutive, uninterrupted. Afshisha Kul Mitzufim, likewise the 6 days consecutive, and you don't make up for lost time. You can't put a pause and come back to it. Again, Mamni Ilim Rabbanim. Who's speaking? Is it the Rabbanim? Yislu Rabbanim Fuzar? Do they even hold of an option of dispersing? I mean, we're talking about the last 6 days, right? So once you're holding there, if something happens, a new Leda, we just focus on the new one. We ignore the previous counts. There's no going back concept at all. Rabbanu told us about Sheni money. We count based on the last and final lot. So this concept doesn't apply to them. Ella Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Yehuda speaking, who reckons based on the first one. And the point of the Brisa is that we can't make up for lost time. Shmamino Chumra Isle Kula Lesli Shmamino. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing regarding generating any Chumra, additional Karbanais. On that, we say we ignore the second birth. And the third birth is its own thing, new karma. But regarding a kula, generating a leniency, to say that we sort of ignore the second birth and its yimei tumah to the point that we can make up for lost time and give the first birth additional yimei tahara instead? No. So actually, according to him, the first birth is sort of playing in the background despite the new arrival, despite the fact that you're counting yimei tumah for the second birth. And the clock keeps on ticking on the first birth as well. Shmamina. Okay, so in conclusion, multiple births can be covered under the same carbon. We have a pasuk, Zeus, Teres, Hegel, Lettuce. One for many. According to Rabbanam, one birth on a cable, which triggers an 80-day count. A second birth within that 80 days. Third birth within the 80 days of the second one, on and on and on. It's all sort of linked and overlapping, and you bring a carbon for the last one, you count for the last one, and you're done for everything. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's actually the first Leda that gives her a status of a Yeledes, and that's what the carbon is about, and that's what you're counting about. Now, if there's another birth that happens within the 80 days of the first, it becomes secondary to the first one. Now, according to Rashi, of course, you give it its own count, that's it, because that's also sort of extending her blackout period from Karbana. It's also a Chumrah. But regarding the question of what do we do with the Yimei Tahara of the first one, should you already be done counting by the time the second one came along? Can I make up for lost time? Can I say, well, now I'm having Yimei Tumah, the second one, but I can still make up for these days? So when I'm done, I'll go back to the Yimei Tahara of the first one, make up for lost time? No, we don't do that. The clock keeps on ticking. And she ends up having to expand the Metahara because of the new Leda. Continues the Mishnah. Elu, there is a Gibsa Chamisha, five individuals in total. Mevin carbon oil beer. They'll bring a unique carbon, a fluid carbon, a fluctuating carbon, depending on financial abilities. It could be either option one, which is an animal carbon, option two, a bird carbon, option three, avin a mincha. What are these five? So the first one on the list, Al Shmiyas Koel, listening to a voice, so a fellow denied by way of an oath his ability to assist through his testimony in his friend's trial. Turns out that he was misrepresenting the truth, he was lying, and he admitted as such. He needs to bring a carbon. What kind of carbon? Oil of the yard. Well, because a sign person transgresses with a false oath regarding other matters. Well, Tumas Miglish Ugdashav, he got involved with the Besa Miglish or the Kacha materials while he was Tami. Vayoledes, oh, back to home. Vamatsir, Toner Rabban. Although we have three options, one is the animal, two are the birds, three is the Mincha, but not everybody's given those three options. Some only have two out of three. Toner Rabban, Yesh, maybe Bedalas Vashiris in some cases. You only have option one and two. Ashiros is the wealthy option, and Dalos is one below that, somewhat poor option. V'yesh maybe Bedalos. In some cases, You bring dalos. V'yesh mevi v'dali dalos. This is a girsa, it switches it a bit. V'yesh mevi v'dalos u'v'dali dalos. So in some cases, you have all three options. You can bring the dalos, which is option two, and dali dalos, which is the lowest option as well. As follows. Yeledes only has option one or two. Mevi v'dalos v'ashiros, bird or an animal. Mitzera, mevi v'dalos, mitzera as well. Only has those two options. Shmiyas HaKoil, however, Uvitzos Osaim, however, Vetumas Milush Gdoshav, however, Revim, Vedalos, Vedali, Dalos, they have all three options. Tan Yidach. We have another Braisa, which puts it into numbers. Yesh Mevi Echad Tachas Echad. There is one who will bring one per one. So one instead of one, we'll see soon what this means. Yesh mevi shnayim tachas shnayim, in some cases, two instead of two. Yesh mevi shnayim, some bring two tachas echad instead of one. Yesh mevi echad tachas shnayim, in some cases it's one instead of two. And the Braisa concludes, mekana talamit, from here you confirm, la siris eifa bepruta, that if one is holding by bringing in a mincha, which is a tenth of an eifa, it could even be worth just a pruta, that little, that inexpensive, and you can still fulfill your obligation. Later we'll see how we get to this number. Now the Gemara explains the formula in the Braisa. Yeledes mevia achas tachas achas. By Yeledes, if she drops two options to the bird, it's only one per one. Preda achas to'ev tachas keves. Instead of the sheep for the oila, she'll bring just one bird. So it's not a pair of birds. It's just one in place of the one animal. Mitzera. By him it's two for two. Shtei preid, two birds, one chatas, one oila, tachas shnei kvasim, instead of two sheep. So it's two in place of two. Shmias koil, uvitas vasayim, v'tumas miglik dasha, last three on the list, they'll bring two in the place of one. Mevi'en shtei preid, they'll bring two birds, one chatas, one oila, tachas kivsach, instead of that, one sheep. And on these three, umevi'en bedale dalos, asir seiva, they have the third option as well, the mincha, tachas shtei preid, in lieu of the two birds. So you can have one instead of one, one instead of two, two instead of one, and two instead of two. Katoni. Now the Braisa concluded regarding the price of a mincha. Even a pruta works. How do you get to that amount? Menola. How do we know? Tanarapa. So it's going to be based on a relative formula. What is the comparative ratio in terms of cost between option one, which drops down to option two, the animal to the birds, and likewise, we'll apply the same ratio, same proportion, same formula to confirm the difference in value, the drop in price between option two, the bird, and option three, the mincha, which will end up being a pruta. Minola. So how do we know this? Tana Rabban. Hoimer alai b'sela mizbech. Person pledges a carbon which costs a sela. He didn't say what type of animal. Maybe keves. He brings a sheep, which is presumed to be worth a sela. Why? She'en dover akar b'sela keves. Keves is the only animal that's worth a sela. Mimai, how do we know that a keves animal is meant to be worth a sela? B'dam rachman el osham because of shkom terer. Sits down at price. The ram for the osham, which is in the second year, so it's a year older than the keves, which is in its first year from birth, is worth two bekesef shkolem, two sela. Okay, so a sheep, which is half the age, half the value, goes for one mechlal. The keves ben shana b'sela. Apparently, a keves which is 1 year is meant to cost a sela. Midichsev. How do we know a keves is 1 year old? Keves ben shana say it's within the first year of its birth. Utana. We've established the price of the top option keves. Equals a sela. A sela has 4 dinar. Now, how much are the birds valued at? So we had that Mishnah a while ago. The lowest it ever went to was a pair of birds for a quarter of a dinar, which is really a 16th of a sela, the value of a keves. Turns out that a pair of birds is a 16th, 1 in 16 of the animal. So option 2 drops down by 16, and we assume option 3 as well. The mincha vis-a-vis the birds. That's how you get to a pruta tanan. Amdu kinen boi b'yom b'rasayim. That day, the birds dropped a pair of birds worth a quarter of a dinar, which is 16th of the sela. U'b'dechash, Rachman alei d'dalos. From what we see, that the Torah had compassion, that option two is merely 1/16 of option one. The Mavi Chad Mishis Asar. Chad Mishis Asar Bashir is 1/16 of the highest. Let's assume we apply the same exact formula going down to the third option. So option three will be 1/16 of option two in terms of price. Kachas Rachmana Lidal, Tarat Rachmana is on the poorest. Lamevi Chad Mishis Asar Bidal to be 1/16 of the level above it. Ask the Gemara, we can end up with not one pruta, three actually. How? Imkain, if that's the case, dalos kamahavi river. We established that option two, dalos, is a quarter of a dinar. Let's break it down to pennies, the pruta is. It's 48. The kama pruta river, how many prutas are you going to find in a quarter of a dinar? Arbar mitmanya priti, 48. What's the 16th of 48? Three. Way more than one pruta. Chad mishis asar b'dalos kamahavi. How much is a 16th of that dalos? Tlos a priti, three. Oktani, the Brisa said, one pruta for the mincha. Mekana talam, but asir seva pruta. Amai, why is it just one? Amai pruta. Ha'amras asir seva dalai dalasu. You told me that the asir seva, the mincha, is the lowest. Poorest of the poor. Option three. But obviously you tell me it's a 16th of option two. Chad mishis srei. The dalasu is a 16th of option two. Well, if you'll work it out, the number is 0.3 pruta. On the mincha l'chashvinus lasa pritiha. The answer is like this. No, let's work with a smaller ratio, 1 in 32. 1 pot in 32. Why? Because instead of working with the comparison of two birds versus a keves, so two birds will be a quarter of a dinar, which is 16th of the keves. No, look at the yoledes. Who brings just one bird? One bird is an eighth of a dinar, which is how much of a sela, which is four dinar? 1 pot in 32. So you drop down 32 times. Tanami led this yellow, going to the yellow, the Masya prayed the achas tachas kevish. She offers just one bird instead of the animal, the havichad losim chain of kevis, which is 1 in 32 of the kevis. Okay, so now if you take that same formula and adopt it to the next level, you drop down again 32 times. So it ends up being a pruta. Actually, the more we'll ask, it ends up being 3/4 of a pruta. Because the bird is valued at an eighth of a dinar, which is 24 prutas. And if you take that down to 1.32, it's 3/4 of a pruta. We'll get to that soon. Ask the Gemara, hold it, but is that fair to establish the value of the third option based on the proportional cost of the second option vis-a-vis the first, which is 1.32 by Yeledes? Well, actually, guess what? Yeledes doesn't even have the third option. It doesn't have a mincha option. So how could you derive anything regarding the definition of the third option from your letters where it doesn't even exist? Vadaka. Now, until now, Dali Dalas Kamahava. How much is the shear of Dali Dalas the lowest? Chadmishisasa Badalas, really, fairly, it should be a 1/16, not a 1/32, because a letters doesn't have that option. The Mecha Yolof Mekevitz Vile, that detail, the value of the third option has to be learned from situations where they have that third option. The Meichel of Mekevitz Vayel, that's going to be learned from the other fellows who bring the other karbanas, Ketumas Midrash Kedasha, Vaishvua. So if you can't work with the 1 and 32, you got to go with the 1 and 16, Adkan Putu Palgahavi. So it ends up being 1.5. Basically, we have to learn this system in two stages. One is difference in cost between option one and option two, the animal and the bird. That you can go to your letters, 1.32. But to determine the value of option three, vis-a-vis option two, you got to go to a person who has that option, where we only find a drop of 1/16. Right? Because in those cases, it's two birds coming off of one animal. Two birds are only 1/16 of the animal. So if you take the value of the single bird, 1/32 of the animal, which is learned from your lettuce, which is really 24 prutas, and now you move over to the other system, the 1/16 system, you end up with 1.5 pruta. Oh, Marava, no, not a problem. Let's go to your lettuce all the way. The differential between option 1 and 2 is 1/32. And likewise, between 2 and 3 is 1.32. Om Rav Kula Milsa Milis Yodlif, everything is learned from Yoledes, the value of option 2 and option 3. The Braisa means midachos rachmana leid adalus mehabachad betlosin treimas shiras. The fact that we find by yoledus, Torah has compassion, allows a drastic drop between option one and option two. Umay yoledus, by yoledus we find that the single bird is merely one part in 32 of the animal. Let's adopt that formula going forward as well, and determine the cost of option three accordingly. Hachi chas rachmana leid adalus. The Torah had the same attitude, same approach to the poorest lemevichad betlosin treimas to determine it as 1.32 of the level above it, so it's 24 prutas divided into 32. Oh, it's less than a pruta. Yochi neche, deduct river a quarter. The pruta of it's a quarter below a pruta, because 24 divided by 32 is 3/4. Achinam, you're right. Technically, you can bring a hemincha worth merely 3/4. It's not proper. Elav erach arat, not erach arat. It's not honorable. Yisui pachas mepruta l'makta. It brings such a low value gift to Hashem, so it's pegged by at least a prut. Okay, in conclusion, we have five individuals who have a covenant of Yered in various formations. But in general, we have three options. One is the animal, two is the bird, three is the mincha. Some bring option one or two, some have all three options. In terms of value, we work with a 1.32 proportion. And just as the bird by the letters can be 1.32, to the cost of the animal. Likewise, the fellows who bring the mincha can bring that cheap of a mincha, but it should be at least a prut. Let's just recap the first sugya as well. We have Zayisari Seyaleh is teaching that one carbon can cover many birthing experiences. We have a different approaches, the Rabbanah's approaches, that it's the last and final lay that which triggers the chiyuv, and we ignore everything prior if it happened overlapping sequences. Whereas Kontra Rabbi Yehuda, that's the first lay that triggers the chiyuv and covers anything within its Yimei Malays. But anything past that point is its own, has its own status. What about counting Yimitumah v'Tahara? So we came out to the Kontra Rabbanon. Typically it's not an issue because you only count based on the last one. But in a case, it's an exceptional case where you have the second Leda totally embedded within the 80 days of the first one. In that case, you have to resume counting the first one as well. But you don't make up for lost time, in terms of making up for the Yimei Tahara, which was lost on the Yimei Tumah of the second one. And likewise, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where in general you adopt that approach. You count for both experiences. So you start counting for the first one, then you move on to the second lay, then count accordingly, but you don't make up for lost time. You consider the second Leda as something of substance, to the point that we can't just ignore him. You can't just make up for the Yimei Tumah. The fact is, they counted as Yimei Tumah for the second one. You lost time on that. That was the conclusion of the sukkah. Okay, all the best to you. Atzlacha Rav.